Okay, welcome back for part two on how to delete yourself and me constantly figuring out how to fix my audio and make it good. In the first half, I went over some services, free, paid options, things that you can take steps to delete yourself from the internet and how to clean up your digital identity. You know, treat it kind of like spring cleaning. Every now and then you should go through, do I use this app? Do I use the social media account? Do I do X, Y, and Z? And if you don't, just get rid of it. It's not going to hurt you. And if you got good backups of important stuff, then you should be fine, especially your 2FA codes. You wouldn't want to lose those or your backup codes to your 2FA codes. That would be awful and terrible if that happened to you. It's happened to me. It's a nightmare to fix that. So I think you're just remember to make good, solid backups. I could make a 50-part series just on backups alone. I would gladly just yell into the void and give step-by-step tutorial every week for the rest of my life on how to back up, why you should back up, why it's great to back up, everything important, how to make redundant copies, how to securely make sure that you're storing it securely, what stuff that doesn't really matter, but, you know, I digress. This is about deleting stuff, not saving stuff. Now, one of the most important aspects of digital deletion and deleting stuff and how to preserve your data is now you're going to be like, where the fuck do I put it? What do I do? How do I extend this? How do I go further? How do I get away from this? How do I replace the services that I don't use or say I get rid of them because they're too invasive? What do I replace them with? Well, this is where self-hosting comes in and why it's important to understand that self-hosting is your ultimate, kind of like your ultimate safeguard. Now, it is not a security feature. It is not to self-host Bitwarden. It is not a security feature to self-host XYZ, because then you have to take over that security. Just remember that. I think it is a security safeguard for you to self-host in your internal network and make sure it doesn't connect to the internet. And if you can VLAN it, awesome, even better. But as long as it's not touching the internet, you're relatively safe. You should still use strong passwords and 2FA on all your internal local accounts. Even though it seems like overkill, it's something that I do. Doing that gives you ultimate control over your privacy and your data. It's something that I always pound in as, like, you know, hammer nail kind of thing. If you don't use Google Calendar because they're invasive and they scan your events and then sell you ads, then you might as well self-host your own calendar, like your own CalDev. CalDev is great, or just get a free and open source calendar app that respects your privacy, doesn't need internet connection, and if you need to sync it, Edisync is out there. There's syncing options. There's paid. There's free. I went over, I believe, in great detail a lot of self-hosted options throughout the podcast. But that's not. This isn't like like you have to self-host everything kind of thing, because that's just retarded. You have to understand your threat model. Your threat model is going to guide you in this journey. Now, you've deleted the accounts. You've backed up your data. You have a good backup strategy. You essentially have figured out that what services you're going to use and what services you're not going to use. These are kind of like important things, but I think now is the time to dive into self-hosting, because I think it is true data ownership. I personally, myself, self-host as much as of everything as I can. I don't like the idea of hosting my data in even a cloud infrastructure like Linode or XYZ. I'm lucky enough that I traded a couple of pieces of gear for some servers in my lifetime, and then I downsized to smaller servers. You can get like an Intel NUC for like these little, or like these, the fuck do I have? I have one of those fucking all-in-one PCs I got for like $500, $400, $300, $300, I think, even they're getting cheaper. I just put everything on that. I run a ton of Docker containers. Portainer is great. If you want to get really fancy, you can do K3S or K8S. You can get into Kubernetes. Kubernetes is even better. It's more redundant, high availability. But if you don't need all that shit at home, and it does overcomplicate a lot of things. I've set up a couple K3S and I've set up a couple services with K3S, K8S, and on Kubernetes, and used tracker traffic and as my ingress controller, and my load balancer, I believe, is how it's put out. And then at one point I had also, what was the other one? There's another one. There's like a load balancer. I think it's MetaLB. Like there, I think that's what it was. I did a lot of Kubernetes stuff at one point. It's a lot. It's a headache. It's a lot to deal with. Now I'm more simple. I just I do Portainer and make good backups of my Docker containers, which you can run it. You can run into issues with that, and then I make good backups of other stuff. But I test it, and we test in production around here. What I'm self-hosting is pretty much at this point is my calendars, my photos, my movies. Those are important. Yes, my music. I just go out and buy I buy movies now. I know that's crazy, and it maybe comes from a place of privilege of having money, but I just can't justify $8, $10 a month with fucking ads, or $15 a month. $15 a month, think about it, $15 a month, just go to the fucking bargain bin or your local video store and just get cheap. Just buy, you could find these movies so cheap, or just buy them digitally, I guess, and download them, as long as they're not fucking, they don't have some fucking shit in there to make it stops working if the service goes somewhere. I don't fucking know on that one, but I think your best option generally is to buy your media, rip it to your I don't know if that's considered piracy, it might be, rip it to your server, or even your PC, or just something, rip it to something, and then just stream it with Jellyfin, Plex, MB. Yep, you have options out there. Or just do it locally, like on, just down, get all your movies on your fucking phone, you know, on a flash drive. I when I traveled, I literally put all my movies on a flash drive, and I just watched it on my phone from a flash drive, because it's USB Type-C is pretty awesome. There is some projects that came out. You can turn a Raspberry Pi into like a portable media server, and I mean, there's you got so many options. Fuck these fucking platforms that do awful jobs on paying the artists too, as well. And it's especially the music spot. Fuck Spotify. I'm just not a fan of these conglomerates just paying fractions of a penny to like these artists, and they become essentially the only way you can listen to music, and it's just kind of cringe. I just like buying, I guess maybe I just like, I'm not saying you have to carry around physical fucking CD player with CDs. That's just, I mean, that might be a bit much. I have an MP3 player. I've been digressing to older tech just for literally sanity, so I don't have to be tied to fucking my phone all the time, or have it on me, or have it on. It's just a nightmare to just do stuff, and I don't know, it's just distractionless, I guess, and it's nice, and it has a headphone jack, and I can just fucking plug my headphones in, and it works. And you know, we can talk about digital minimalism another time. I think I'm gonna do a whole dedicated episode to digital minimalism and regressing to a better, cleaner, I guess, a part of the internet. And I love the internet. I think there's such good things about it that is overlooked. Like, we have vast amount of access to information that we ever have, but that's a whole nother topic. On deleting yourself, I think that the biggest mistake that people do come across is they, after they do it, they stop. Like they stop, they make, I mean, you're going to make mistakes and that's okay. That doesn't mean, you know, everyone falls. Not everyone runs. Everyone falls. Everyone makes mistakes, but then they stop. They like, fuck it. No one wants to use Signal, whatever. You'll eventually get them to use Signal. Trust me. All you have to do is just say, I don't accept any messages unless it's Signal. That's prior. People that message me on Signal or Molly or SimpleX, they get my priority first. And that might push them to download the app and actually work. I wouldn't really call that a toxic, even being toxic. It's just setting boundaries. It's good to set digital boundaries, like not having Facebook. I had someone in my life that like really was addicted to Facebook, and they like were very confused that I wasn't on Facebook. And they wanted to post me on Facebook with them, and I told them no. Like, hey, I appreciate. This is kind of like how I handled it. They're like, I'm like, no, I appreciate it. That you want to do this, and like, I love you very much. I care about you as a person. But I need you to respect this bound. I have a few boundaries that I need to set. I do not like my face on social media like that. And I don't like the idea of, I don't like necessarily the idea of, that being out there, especially in case if we don't work out, and we didn't, I don't really want to, you to go through like going back and, cause I would want you to delete it, you know, stuff like that. It's, I think you should be very, like, learn how, it's good to compromise in some places, but if you have, like, very, it's good to have also strict personal boundaries. And those, like, I have some of those, like, and people think they're, like maybe extreme, but I don't know. That's just my take. Find your personal boundaries, find your threat model, and learn how to work it into your life with people. I think that's they'll kind of get it at some point. I like Signal, like I'm like only Signal, and it's converted people to use it. If they want to get a hold of me, if they don't, then it doesn't really fucking matter. On the self-hosting side, yeah. So that was a bit of a tangent. On the self-hosting side, I host essentially everything besides my password manager. I did at one point, but it is kind of a headache. Bitwarden requires you to have a domain for it to work, and there's some workarounds. You can use VaultWarden, which is way lighter. Again, requires you to have a domain and HTTPS enabled. It has to. There's, again, workarounds if you don't publicly expose it. I didn't like that. I looked into Passbolt at 1.2 because I kind of liked it with the controversy with Bitwarden going on. But my advice to average person, if you're going to use, if you don't want to use Bitwarden because you're afraid of the cloud, just use, I mean, it's technically connected to the internet regardless. It's just not exposed, I guess. I would use KeePassXD with a key file, obviously on a separate device. You don't want it in the same place. With 2FA, and that's kind of like your 2FA. And I believe there's a 2FA token option now. I use KeePassD in like a very separate kind of, like, it's the only option kind of thing. And then KubesOS, I use the offline vault, and I just generate random diceware passwords and for certain accounts, and I put that in the vault, and the vault doesn't connect to the internet. And it's, that's where the vault is, where I learned how to copy between cubes like a pro. I think that's the most annoying part, and I'm probably going to talk about my operating system and cubes at some point. But for the incels that think that cubes is too hard to use, it's really not. The hardest thing is the fucking copying. Copying from one cube to another, it was annoying. It was tedious. It's still annoying. It's still tedious, but... And setting up split PGP, but that was kind of cool. Split PGP is very, very based. And then, like, but on the self-hosting side, passwords. I do, yeah, my password, my contacts, my media, my music. My music server is I've had that for probably the longest. It's kind of great. I listen to all my music kind of locally now. I run my own Monero node. Monero node is awesome. My own Lightning node. Dude, it syncs so fast. Like, after the syncing is done, the first downloading of, like, the entire block, and then going over to just sending transactions, fucking, so fast. I love it. And then I have an air-gapped Monero wallet on my phone, which is somewhat self-hosted. FTP, for a while, the FTP server for, like, transferring stuff. Sync thing. I self-host things. Sync thing on my servers to, like, sync all my shit that I just kind of want to. I did Nextcloud, but it's so clunky, and honestly, I don't know. Maybe I'm just dealing with. I just need less. I need stuff. Like, I don't have a lot of digital needs. I don't know if society has more needs or if I have just less needs than the average person. 'Cause I've realized how little stuff as I've gotten older and self-hosted longer and longer and longer, I've literally needed less. I need less accounts. I did get a couple, like, I checked out, like, some stuff, like, on the internet, like Blue Sky and Matrix and Amist. I'm on Nostr too, like, well, Nostr and Mastodon, but it's like, I don't need it. I don't have the urge to post and doom scroll on it. It's kind of great because I think the problem with social media is it's really designed to keep you there. And we obviously know this isn't like a big brain take or anything, but it sucks. It sucks that, like, you can't just go on and just leave. I was having a conversation just with another person not too long ago, and they're like, how do you function without social media? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I just go out and I touch grass, or I go on the internet. I do a lot of doom scrolling, I guess, on forums. Like, I like to go on forums and, like, the internet. Like, just read, like, skits articles. But now that I think about it, nothing algorithmically, keeps me there. Just myself, myself and my ADHD keeps me there. But other than that, nothing keeps me on the internet. Like Blue Sky, I could deal without. I don't really. It's just really just to post this there, and then I gotta figure a way to automate that. It's kind of nice to not need social media in general. I think it's a good thing because as great as it can be, and I think there are good things about it because you get to talk to people and interact with people that you normally wouldn't, but I think we're replacing interactions with it. I think it's not going in the direction of, it's going in the direction of, instead of being like a tool, like to interact with your fans, to replacing it. This is how I need to live my life 24/7 online chronically and Dance Monkey and kind of thing. And it's just, it's kind of cringe. Like, people don't, maybe when I do rarely go in outside and touch grass and interact with people, it's like they're very consumed online to the point where they're like, they treat IRL like online. And I was very chronically online, even worse in on the internet when I had a Facebook. I was very addicted to Facebook. And I guess that's what kind of triggered me one day. And I was like, wow, I'm very addicted to Facebook. And the amount of data collections. I got hit with like that class action lawsuit. They're like, hey, we owe you like $7 for fucking selling your data. And I'm like, what? That's kind of ass. And I have a list of reasons why I left Facebook. But it wasn't, one of them wasn't the privacy as much as the, I just stopped caring. And it was great. I kind of did it out of nowhere and deleted all my my accounts, and I haven't had Facebook in a very, very long time. And then I started self-hosting, and then went on Reddit a couple times to find solutions to, you know, like self-host like Minecraft servers and put them on Raspberry Pis and stuff like that. And then I got into a Rancher and Kubernetes and K3S rabbit hole, and pretty much did that for quite a while. And then I got that's when I got a server. You know, I'm just circling back, but it's definitely put me in an interesting spot where I'm chronically online enough to like do that, but not chronically enough online to want to go back to social media. And I don't know, self-hosting is kind of just like I sit it and forget it. Like, image is great. I think it does. It's very heavy, though. It's a very heavy. It's thick. Two C's. Thick with two C's on that bitch, man. Spit on that. Thick with two C's, brother. on this. And it kind of sucks because if you don't have, like, decent hardware, it kind of sucks. Because I have mine on a pretty unfast TrueNAS scale server, because it's just easy to install, and I don't have to command line everything anymore, which is awesome. But they got away from Kubernetes and went to Docker, which is great in my opinion. Kubernetes made it way more complicated. There was a lot of issues. There was a lot of fucking issues that I would run into. Always, and I fucking hated it. Now, I could think of a million reasons why you shouldn't self-host. And I think I will, yeah. So, if you really, truly do not want to, if you truly do not want to be responsible of those things, and you don't really like learning, and you really are a forgetful person, or if you're taking on like the family photos and like photos of your kids, and you don't have a redundant backup, don't self-host. Like, it's such a headache. I had to, at three times, my first server, I got a server from my work, and I was like, cool, I'm going to use this. And then it fucking took a shit. And I just never fixed that. My other server was beasted 4 years strong on these hard drives that made me a little nervous. My hard drives made me so nervous that I did backups on by default. Normally, I do backups and snapshots of my workflow once a week, at bare minimum. On this shit, it was like once every 2 days. I was like, snapshot, backup, snapshot, backup. Oh, man. I was... And then I do, like, big backups every, like, 6 months. Like, I, like, make sure everything works. I break everything, and then I run it. Like, I run it. I restore from backups. I have a schedule of just a day where I just back up all my shit, and then I break, I like corrupt, like I turn it off, I delete whatever, I make sure that it all fucks up, and then I restore from a backup, so I know that my backups are good. If you don't do that, man, you never know. You might be really pissed one day if you don't test this shit in production. That's my personal take. I'm not saying you have to be that crazy, because you might not have such sensitive information where you're that worried. You should be. You should be scared tonight. You should think about all the things you didn't back up. But it's kind of nice that I got into that habit. It is tedious though. But I've just had so much problems in my early Linux life and my early self-hosting life that my fucking, like, I had Pop! OS on my PC and that shit fucking deleted itself fucking twice from an update. And this is why I say there's no distro for beginners. I'm going to die in this hell. I just don't think there's a beginner distro. I don't care what anyone says. I don't think that there is a beginner Linux distro. And Arch Linux doesn't need to be fucking installed from the command line. You can just use Calamaris and fucking install it from a GUI. You don't need to install. I don't think there's a single one. Besides, I think maybe Gen 2, but Gen 2 has options now where it's everything comes. Red Core uses the Calamaris installation. I fucked around with Gen 2 for a little bit. I liked it actually. Portage is kind of annoying to deal, like kind of annoying and weird to work with in the beginning. But I used what is it? What's the defunct? Oh God, it starts with a B. I don't think they use it anymore because of some problems. It was like a completely different install, and it sucked because I was like, this is different, this is interesting. Bungie, that's what it is. Bungie. God, I was gonna have a stroke. It had a different package manager. You had to learn, like, it had some quirks. There's Void Linux as well, which is kind of funky. I fucked around with Void for a little bit. What did they use? They used something else. Yeah. No, it's not Bungie. Fuck, man. I don't know what it is. Or is it Budgie? Yes. Is it no, because it's whatever. It was whatever the fuck it was. It's a desktop environment that I used. It uses a different package manager. I really, really liked it. They used a different, not only a different package manager, there's some different, I think it is. The Budgie, yeah. It is. Okay. Yeah. It used a different package manager. I really, really, really was invested into... I was really invested into it. It was the longest running distro I ran before I found Pop! OS. And I forgot why I quit, why I hopped. Sometimes I just hop because I'm bored. And then I'll just go to the next Linux distribution. Yeah. Wow. What a... It starts with an E. It was like their weirdest package manager. I can't remember. I don't know why. But beyond that, that is a whole another rabbit hole that I could just fucking... I'll probably put on a list of just shit to talk about. Now deleting yourself from the internet really isn't, again, that hard, but maintaining it, I think, is the hardest, and maintaining your sanity. So I always say do a sanity check every couple months. Delete your stuff. If you see it pop up somewhere, don't freak out. Fucking get it removed and move on. Treat it. And then once you kind of like get in the flow of stuff, and you're like self-hosting and you're doing like different things and you're going out and someone's like, hey, can I get your email? And you're like, no, I'm okay. I don't want to. You don't feel bad. That guilt starts melting off you. You're not saying no to the employee. You're not hurting them. You're saying no to the fucking company. And fuck them. You're saying no to the company, taking your data, and selling it. That's all you're doing. You're rejecting it. Reject the ability to them to collect your data and sell it. Because that's what ultimately they're going to do. What else would they be giving you $5 off? Think about it. If they give you $5 off your product and then another $5 to another customer and so forth, and times that by 10 and times that by 1,000 and times that by, 100 stores per fucking state, what else would they, how would they recoup that loss? Because they're losing it somewhere. Yeah, they gained a loyal customer. Yeah, they probably, they're getting thinner margins. But in the background, they're like, wait a minute, we can double dip. We can take this and sell it to a broker. We have 100,000 emails. A data broker would cream in his pants hearing that. They're like, 100,000 emails. We just need a 1% conversion rate of X amount of money that we're going to fucking sell this to. Like, you know, that's all it is. If you have 100,000 emails, a company's like, all we need is to hit a 2% conversion rate on these 100,000 emails that we send out. We're going to send out. We're going to fucking make our money back. We're good. Or whatever. That's how they think. That's the business. That's your data now is gold. So once you start rejecting that, going to Best Buy, you see the thick Best Buy employee and they're like, yeah, man, why don't you give me your email? And you're like, nah. And I'm not going to give you my number. Fuck you. That's how you should don't really do that because that would be insane. You're like, nah, I'm good. Once you start rejecting it, no one cares. Like, no one's going to fight you in the street for you to give them your email to them. That's the best part. It's like, oh, okay. And then they move on. I've had one time where somebody, like, tried to get my email. And that was for a receipt. And I'm like, I don't want to give my email. And this is, again, before I had Simple Login. But I was like, very self-aware of, like, collection. Now, if I have to give my email, or if I want to for some XYZ rewards, I just give them my Simple Login email. It's very easy. It sounds annoying. It's really not. I have a free give-all email that I made in Simple Login. One that I can give to anyone. Make it whatever you want. Make it Big Farter 69420 Blaze It .xyc .at alias.com. You know what I mean? Make it funny. Make it embarrassing that they have to type it. Make it embarrassing. Big comers sexy booty hole 69420.xccx, because Simple Login emails are a little funky. And you can respond with it too. Do all that. Like, Simple Login has been such an essential tool that I'm willing to pay money every month, every year for them to exist continuously. I ordered some books from for a friend over country. I didn't want anyone to fucking have my email, even though they're in a country that has way better, you know, privacy laws than the United States. And I needed to respond to them because they were like, hey, there's... I'm like, hey, where's these... where's the orders going? And they're like... I'm like, in my head, I'm like, where's the orders going? Like, how am I going to fucking respond to these fuckers? Because they're going to think that I'm crazy because I'm coming in with a different email. And then I went into the how-to, how to send an email with simple login alias. I'm like, fuck yeah. This is great. And the magic just happens. Now, I know AdGuard just came out with their own email aliasing. There's a non-addy. I think DuckDuckGo has one. And then simple login. Apple has their own. Google doesn't really have one, but I know a lot of people do the email plus service here. It's kind of a way to find out if someone's like selling your email, because I don't know. I went down. I kind of went down like why, like how that exit, how why it works, how it works, and I was like, and it's still. People still know your email. I'm good. I think that's the best solution is a non-addy, simple login, hide my email for Apple, and just pick any tool under the sun. I think that's what you should do is just pick a tool, find tools that are just irreplaceable, that they deserve your money almost. You're like, this is actually great. This is life-changing. It made my life easier. That's essentially, I can't live out without simple login, privacy.com. I think they're great. I just don't like giving out, like, my personal information, like my personal cards. I mean, it's makes my life easier. It's not if there's a data breach. It's when there's a data breach. And then if privacy.com has a fucking data breach, then I'm fucked anyways. Like, at least I know where it came from, and I don't have to hunt down 10 sites. That's the beauty, is I would rather decentralize my media and my presence in a lot of sense, but centralize and focus on 3 to 5 people, 3 to 5 companies that have my data versus hundreds of companies, hundreds of third parties. And I try to read through the privacy policy and see how much external help they have. Because if I pick a product and they have a lot of external help, I need to be aware that they might, if they have a data breach, they might have some security holes. I understand companies can't do everything right at the same, you know, like everything themselves. Like there's a mail forwarding. I mean, you could just get a PO box, but there's a mail forwarding company I use for certain mail I don't want to come to, you know, my residence. And a lot of it, they have no third parties. They do everything internal. They answered my email very honest, very quick, very nice. I'm not going to plug them here for obvious reasons, because if they ever become a bunch of demons, not good. But they're pretty transparent. They're transparent about the pricing. They're transparent about like what they accept, what they don't accept. Unfortunately, they don't accept cash or Monero yet. but they are transparent on what they use, what they don't use. Like, they don't use third parties. They're like, we don't use third parties, we do everything in-house. And I'm like, okay, I can get down with this. Now, is that going to be the end-all be-all? No. I mean, they might suck in like 5 to 6 months, and I can just leave them. They don't do contracts or anything. This is why I think, like, paying up front for something is a low risk, like a high risk, like the or lifetime subscriptions, because that company doesn't exist anymore. You're kind of like shit out of luck. Like you just paid for a lifetime subscription and they're gone. Like, I don't know. I would be wary of that. Now, I do like just buying the software and the license. Subscriptions are destroying our financial world on every level. Oh my god, it is such a nightmare. Not everyone needs a subscription. I think companies, yes, they should give both. They should give a subscription option and a lifetime pass, like a lifetime option. I think that's well worth it. But again, I digress. I'm going into like 16 different rants and something where we're supposed to be talking about deleting ourselves. But hopefully it keeps you entertained. So navigating the internet is somewhat very unique now and somewhat scary, because it's hard to trust where you get your information from, where you get resources from. At one point, if someone knew your IP address, you thought that was Jover for you. You were like, this is fucking over. I'm screwed. I'm never going to be able to recover from this. They know exactly where I live. They're going to come in and like fucking eat my ass or something while I'm sleeping. That obviously that's not true. And it sucks because VPNs is still taking advantage of very like ignorant people. And that's a problem, because I think the companies are somewhat predatory. Do I think VPNs have their place in a security tool belt and a privacy tool belt? Yes. I'm not going to say they're worthless. I think there are products out there that are worthless. Like what is it? The unplug phone? God, what a fucking absolute pile of dog shit. I think that's what it's called. It's sad too, because they're trying to, yeah, unplugged, yeah, that's what it is. It's really bad. There should be like 16. I wish if I could get my hands on a demo for free and never pay a single dollar to look at it as a product view, I would fucking do it. Because it's not good. It's just bad. It's so bad, and it's a gimmick. And the sad thing is, like, people are going to fall for this, and they're going to buy it. They stole code from the DiveOS team, and like they took the code. Kill switches are fucking stupid and pointless. You don't need a kill switch. If your phone is compromised, it doesn't fucking matter if you have a kill switch. End of story. Just all you have to do is put your shit in airplane mode. When people are like, I just want a dumb phone, airplane mode. Fucking dumb phone. Get Graphene OS, put it in airplane mode. It's dumb. And then if you think that it doesn't work, try making a call. It's like, dude, these NSA level fucking retards. I do believe that the co-founder is linked to Pegasus. I don't know. That's alleged. I'm not sure. And it's kind of insane. I don't know if they use Micro G. If they do, then you're using fucking Google. I want to get my hands on some of these esoteric phones and use them for the sole purpose of for the sole purpose of that, for the sole purpose of just, like, checking him out. Now, not gonna lie, shit like this is, it's, it sounds like, oh, wow, I want to actually do a better job and reach to a better private and secure society. But it's really just a bunch of fucking grifters. Remember the Freedom Phone? Fucking stupid. And I don't think that there is a place for a lot of these devices. They're just going to pop up for people that are, like, super uneducated. Like, you up VPN and Privacy Center and mail. And, by the way, email is never supposed to be private. It's never going to be. Even as a pro ten stan, it's insane. The app store and the app registration is completely pointless. I mean, just like, oh god, it's so fucking dumb. Just get Graphene OS. Here's my Graphene OS stand. Another plug for Graphene OS. Just get fucking Graphene OS and don't install the Google Play Store. Don't install any apps that require the Google Play Store. There's very, 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 very small amount. And get fucking, Obtainium. You can get everything from Obtainium. Obtainium really just gets everything from Source. It's so fucking dumb. If you go this far, just get Obtainium. Obtainium's not even that fucking hard to use. You could be blind and retarded and it would still fucking work. It's great. That's why I love Obtainium. It just notified me. It's like, yo, you have an update. I'm like, thanks. Or Droidify. Or F-Droid. Just fucking do F-Droid at that point. Their security signature and, like, so their lagging behind security is kind of great. Not great. Sorry, not great. I just don't understand this de-Google bullshit life that people just go through and compromise their security for these fucking awful products that I've read a lot into. Again, I digress. I get very angry. Just the money you spend on this, just get a Pixel at that point. You're not supporting Google if you're buying a Pixel from fucking Target and just get Graphene OS. Google's not going to remember, like, oh, this guy bought a Pixel 7a with cash in a Target at fucking in Houston, Texas at on a Tuesday at like 7:30 in the a.m. Like, fucking stupid. Stupid. People are so dumb. They just get fucking cucked by these fucking incels on the internet for shit like this, and it's just insane. It's insane that you would spend this much money on a product that has probably objectively worse security when you can just get a fucking phone with Graphene OS on it. You really don't need, we don't need another option if it's a worse option. Bad security doesn't equal better, doesn't offset to better privacy. It's not like, oh, we're more private. We don't allow Google Play Integrity Services in this, but we're going to steal, allegedly, an application and reskin it as our own, even though that's violating GPL3. We're a bunch of cucks about that. Oh, and by the way, our VPN doesn't store any logs. Like, fucking okay. I don't believe you. I don't know. And the kill switch is fucking super. After actually me thinking about it, kill switches are retarded. They're dumb. Just use airplane mode. It solves everything. If your software's compromised, it doesn't fucking matter. If your phone's compromised, then kill switch don't fucking matter. It's just dumb. It's a waste. I'm gonna find it. There's a really good article that explains why kill switches are fucking stupid. And I'm gonna link it, and I hope you read it. This is like
gone from
how to delete yourself, how to be unhinged, and I think it's going to be the most downloaded episode and the greatest. I'm just looking at this guy do a review of the up phone. I think the unplugged phone, and he's got so many monitors, and it's really pissing me off. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's got 6 monitors, and it makes me so angry for some reason. I don't know why. I'm tilted. I'm angry. But I think the Graphene OS devs, they actually like responded. They did respond to the really bad. I think they actually like responded to like the developers of this project, and they got into like an argument, and it was kind of funny. But these like massive privacy phones are just a bunch of fucking gimmicks. Just get Graphene OS, install Graphene OS, fucking end it. Until something better comes along, I will stand on that hill. And I have to actually see evidence of it, of anything better. I'm better for I want alternatives that exist. I have a Pine phone, and I still don't think that there's anything that can top Graphene OS in the terms of simplicity, privacy, and security. Based on reports, based on evidence, based on talking to people that work in this field, based on a ton of things. There's a lot of gimmicks out there. You just got to be careful. I'm just laughing and gooning. Laughing and gooning is all I can understand. But I think that there should be options. Just not shit options. That's my take. That's my take. That's my opinion. I will see you all later. And I hope that y'all have a good night. Thank you.